You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Do you have a particular agenda with your videos?
Well, other than trying to attract hot women, with my handsome face, you know.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to what should prove to be a pretty interesting show on this episode of Ron Spomer Outdoors Podcast. I have a surprise, and I think most of you are not going to believe that you just might be interested in speaking with two old English teachers. So this is not going to be a lesson in grammar, folks, but I do find it interesting that a couple of us gun nuts on YouTube were former English teachers. And today I have a special guest who is not only an English teacher, but he is currently the most popular outdoor gun YouTuber out there. He has something like 7 million subscribers or a little more. And his biggest video has 45 million views. So this gentleman is probably going to be fairly familiar to you. When I announce his name, a lot of you won't be surprised. It is Hickok 45. Welcome to Ron Spomer Outdoors Podcast, Hickok.
Well, thanks. Hello, everybody. After that introduction, now I don't know if I can live up to that or not. But
you'd better watch your grammar.
Well, I will. Yeah, I am an old English teacher. I'm a former English teacher, and I'm old, so I'm really an old English teacher.
You know, that is interesting, Hickok, because not only was I also a former English teacher, but a lot of my interest in firearms was initiated by my English teacher in high school. He was a hunter, and he had lots of guns, and he sort of took me under his wing and really inspired me and encouraged me to do what I do to this day. I got started as an outdoor writer and then, of course, moved into this. How did you get started on YouTube?
Well, on YouTube, I'd been a shooter most of my life, too, since I was 12, I guess, but I was really fortunate where I taught. I was able to teach the novel Shane. You can imagine? I mean, for a lot of people, they wouldn't get excited about that. But for me, and probably you would really enjoy that. And so I just you do whatever you can. These were 7th, 8th graders to keep the interest up. And plus, I thought it was fun. I brought in, we were a high-tech school where I taught. And I just did some stuff out here on the shooting table with my Colt, you know, single action armies, you know, lever gun and shotgun, double barrel, and just some live firing, and talked and showed how it worked. And of course you get the real bullets, you know, real firing, and took it into the class, the video. it was a CD, I guess, at that time. And showed it on the wall and everything, and, you know, introduced, told the kids, you know, this is the real deal here, and this is how it sounds, how it works, and all that kind of thing, and played them the boring video. I sent it to my son, John, who was in college at the time, just to show him what I'd done. Yeah, it was a CD, because I sent him a copy of it, and he said, Dad, this was like 2007 or 6, 7. He said, there's just not much on YouTube with firearms that's any good. You ought to, you know, put something like this on YouTube. Yeah, well, maybe. So that was too long and boring, really, even more longer and more boring than I am normally now. But so it wasn't really suitable to put that whole thing on there. And so we just did a little couple of things with Glocks and just a little informal, informational, you know, thing. This is a Glock 19. Here's how you break it down and that kind of thing. And just stuck it on there, and a couple of goofy things, shooting through my car or something like that. Because, you know, I've got the range, got the place that just is. At that time, most of what was on YouTube was like stupid stuff. I don't know if you remember back then, but there wasn't as much educational stuff on there. It was like a place to go put a dumb cat video. It still is, I guess. But and it still is a place to put dumb stuff, of course. But it was mostly that, I think, at the time. And so, but, So anyway, just kind of went from there, and more people, even the videos where I was trying to provide a little information, they seemed to, didn't know how to edit. You know, on the video, I'm showing, turn the camera on, you know, and then walking back and starting to talk. Didn't even know how to edit that out, you know. And so a little pocket camera on a tripod. And more people seemed to like it than we thought should, you know. And, and some subscribers started building. It's, well, we could do some more things. You know, we could do 15 videos probably. I could do my shotguns, do my lever guns, do this. I really had them written down, just some videos we could do, just throw it out there just for fun and whatever I could get back. No notion that there was any way to make a buck out of it or a living. Now, that wasn't even a part of the universe at that time.
Right.
It was almost a year later before I got an email that asking if we wanted to be partners. I think we had 1,000 subscribers or something, and I didn't even know what that was. So it was a totally different mentality, not to pat myself on the back. It just wasn't our thing, you know. And so it just kind of started from there, and then more people watched and subscribed, and, you know, it was kind of a mystery, and we just kept doing it. But we never did really get away from, for the most part, just putting up the camera, or John, you know, holding the camera, or me holding it for him, and just let it roll for the whole 10, 20 minutes. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how we got going. Shane.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I expect a lot of folks don't even know what Shane is anymore, but they can check it out. Who wrote that novel? Remember the author?
Oh gosh. It's a long. Oh man. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, me too. Well, there's a movie version.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on it.
Yeah. Well.
Oh yeah. But it's for people in the audience, it's a really good novel. Now the movie is great too. Most people that like Westerns, you know, love that. And there are obviously some differences, but it's a very well written novel. The name may come to me before. It's been like 10 years since I taught it or thought about that, but it's a very good novel.
Yeah. Say, how did you come up with Hickok 45 for the name of your channel?
It was a marketing decision. No, actually, it was nothing like that. It would have been a pretty good marketing decision for those people who know Wild Bill Hickok. It's amazing how people, again, talk about Shane. There's a lot of people who've never heard of Wild Bill Hickok. I was just on forums and prowling around the internet. I've been a computer guy, kind of. I was into them back in 81. I had an Apple II, you know, so. So I was on the forums and Glock Talk and some of those that existed back in the day. And I think my first username was like Glock or G Glock or something, but then I changed it to Hickok 45. I'd read several books about Wild Bill, and I was just always fascinated by him because I was mainly a pistol guy growing up and up until recently, actually. It's my first love, handguns. And he was really, you know, Prince of Pistoliers, and he could really shoot, as you probably know. He was the real deal. It wasn't all mythology like it is with a lot of Western personalities. Anyway, I didn't change my username or I need a username for this forum or that, or I didn't have one yet. And I just Hickok, you know, that's cool. And I put a 45 on it because that's my favorite caliber. Generally, I shoot a lot of 45 and love 45. That's how that came about. So when I started the YouTube channel, it was anything but a marketing thing. I was just a username I've been using, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was just perfect. I thought it was a brilliant marketing decision. It's one of those serendipitous just sort of fell in your lap.
I should claim that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would have been smart to adopt something other than my name, but too late now.
I don't know. You got a cool name. I come across your videos. You know, I don't really hunt. I did back in the early 70s. I just sort of got away from it when I realized how easy it was to hit steel targets that you don't have to get up early to find, and you know, you don't have to field dress them. So my steel animals over there are always ready to be hunted any time of the day, and they're always in season.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I'm searching for. I don't know, just doing research for video on a firearm and chambering or something. I've run across your videos and I've sat and, you know, it's kind of interesting to me because, like, man, you are a super hunter and I really don't hunt, but I'm sitting watching your videos and I enjoy your videos. I'm not just saying that because I'm on your show. I enjoy your style. And it's also, you keep it interesting, and you keep it, well, you don't keep it simple. And I said, well, it's simple enough so people can understand. It's obvious you've taught. You know, I didn't know you were an English teacher. That explains it. I taught middle school most of my teaching career, some high school. But you know how it is. You got to explain things clearly, right? You got a bunch of adolescents in front of you. And so I think that comes through with your approach, whether you're talking about ballistic coefficients or, oh my gosh, I saw something you were doing on the Coriolis effect?
Cool, gosh, yes, word? The Coriolis effect.
I thought, oh man. you try to explain things like I find myself doing sometimes, and some things are hard to explain. You're used to talking to the teenagers. Come through.
Yeah. It's I don't know. It was just I try to make things understandable. You get these complicated subjects like that, you know, and it's difficult. I have trouble understanding them. When I finally get it drilled into the old thick head, I consider how difficult it was, and then I try to reformulate that so that other folks like me can understand it. And that's kind of why I do what I do. And that raises my question to you is, do you have a particular agenda with your videos? Are you trying to entertain and educate at the same time? Because it seems like what your videos accomplish is just that. Do you have any other particular goals? Yeah.
Well, other than trying to attract hot women with my handsome face, you know, our primary focus is the Second Amendment. You know, I mean, that is always a focus, you know, promote the Second Amendment, the shooting sports, the enjoyment of the shooting sports, and setting a good example. We do some silly things occasionally, but I felt that my entire life. As you might be able to relate to, as an English teacher, I back in the 70s, it was a different world. You find yourself at a dinner party, or you know, maybe my wife's friends or wherever it is, some group. You don't really know everybody, and you know, at that time there weren't as many shooters. It seemed like now you could. Just in a crowd, you could, every other person probably got a carry permit, seems like, you know, but it was a little different back then. And so you wouldn't lead with talking about firearms. And I always thought it was good to let people get to know me a little bit, and that I was an English teacher, and we could have a little discussion about Shakespeare if you want to. But I also like firearms. And I think it's always been an interest of mine to just represent the shooting sports as best I could. And we still try to do that, you know, with our videos. And that's one of the most important things if we don't do anything else, I think. And then we have fun, you know. You know, when we started doing this, the thing I didn't mention earlier, John and I, my son, partner, you know, we do this. When we realized that more people were subscribing than should, you know, wow, a lot of bad taste out there. People like these videos for some reason, you know, we couldn't believe. And we've got, like I said, 15 videos or something we could do, and that'd be our contribution to the world from what I've learned about it. I'll pass it on. Maybe I can help somebody. And we actually talked about this, had this conversation about, well, we're not going to get too many followers because I was not in the military and I've never been a real cop. I volunteered, did some volunteer work in my county, but I've never been a sworn deputy or anything. And so I don't have military experience. I'm not an expert. I'm not even a certified firearms trainer or anything like that. And so, you know, we're not going to have too big an audience, you know, because I don't have any of those credentials or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so we really surprisingly discovered that, well, most shooters don't either, I think, is what it is. And so in a way, we represent every man, I guess you'd say. Yeah. You know, I'm not a high-speed, low-drag guy. I'm not a hotshot cop or anything like that, an operator. And I just, I guess one of our missions then is to provide that, you know, for the average person, because that seems to be a large part of our audience. It's the average shooter of all ages, young and old, as well as cops and soldiers. Now, they're not maybe looking for information as much, but I can't tell you how many cops come to meet and greets and just they just really love the videos, you know. But yeah. Again, I'm just an average guy. I don't have any credentials, you know.
Well, I think that is your strong point, is you're just every man, and you're so relatable. And you're straight up and honest, too. It comes across. Your personality is approachable, yeah. And you are just – I think anyone who shoots knows you because they see a lot of you in themselves. So that's –
Well, maybe. So we're just regular guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just regular guys. And plus, we're not as much as I love a lot of the gun companies, sold out to any gun companies. You know, we've had to turn down advertising and some different things from gun companies, and we just intentionally stay out of their pockets. And our sponsors are nobody that there's any conflict with. If we have a sponsor for some product, then that's certainly nothing we're going to review, you know, because I don't feel like I'd have any credibility with that, you know.
So
we're pretty objective, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I really appreciate about what you do is that you're safe about it. You're not only setting an example of responsible gun ownership, but you're teaching it as well, and you really emphasize safety aspects. And as you mentioned earlier, yeah, so many of this nonsense on YouTube is just to get hits. They'll do crazy, silly things and quite often unsafe, yeah. And I always cringe when I see those with shooting. But what I like about your channel is it's responsible shooting, it's educational at the same time, and your attitude is one of acceptance and accessibility, and you're having fun. And I think it shows the general population, anyone who watches your videos, that, gosh, I get these gun nuts aren't all a bunch of crazy macho, hyped up on steroids, ready to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. They're just average guys who enjoy shooting targets.
Yeah, you've been into firearms forever. You know, you know that. And people who are involved in the shooting sports know that. There are a lot of people who don't necessarily know that. But we want everybody to be welcome to our channel. And I think everybody is. I've spoken with women's groups. There, for whatever reason, there are a lot of female shooters that like the videos. And you know, we just try not to be intimidating and like yourself, when we're explaining things, try to keep it at a seventh grade level, because my mind is about a third grade level. So I'm actually reaching up to get to a seventh grade level. But you know how it is, from teaching and just being a human walking around the planet. You know, when someone's talking about something you're not familiar with, you know, firearms, computers, or whatever it might be, it's easy to miss it and not understand it, you know. So we try to keep it simple. And we have fun. We push the edge a little bit, maybe, but we try to be safe, you know, in everything we're doing, demonstrate safety, exaggerate safety. We do a few things that helped early on, I think, getting the younger audience on board, whether it was shooting a bunch of watermelons or whatever you're doing, because everybody loves that if you're a shooter. Yeah. Carving pumpkins, you know, things like that. They're just a standby we do every year. And I think that's helped reach out into the general public to a certain extent, because early on we'd have news stations and different things would want to contact us about, like, the pumpkin carving we do every year. You know, Leno had that on, and then Gutfeld and different things. And, you know, that's just something we do. What's unusual about that, you know?
Yeah, I guess to the Hollywood folks, it's pretty unusual. No.
Yeah, it's funny. Because they didn't, people who were, normally you would think we are really turned off by firearms, that pumpkin carving we do every year, and, you know, from way back the beginning, that wasn't as much a turnoff to the news outlets, you know, MSNBC and all sorts of news outlets on digital. You know, they contacted us and local news stations and wanted to do something on that. And it's like, well, you sure it's a firearm? Doesn't that scare you? You know, but who knew?
Huh. Well, listen, from the early days on YouTube to now, have you seen any significant changes in what either what they limit you to or what you prefer to do, or you just have simply noticed on the firearms channels on YouTube?
Yeah, they have become more restrictive. Some of it is based in ignorance, and then some of it is just fear from their advertisers. And I understand some of it. Obviously, they're going for advertisers, and they know that a lot of advertisers, they don't want to advertise on a video that's, you know, some wacko, you know, doing something, you know. So they have to monitor that to some extent. If I owned YouTube or I owned a platform like that, everybody complains about the freedom, lack of freedom. But when you get right down to it, let's say you owned a platform competing with YouTube or whatever, and you're, the only way you could do that is you have advertisers, right, and keep that going. So there has to be limits. So I think most of us understand that. But there are some silly things. Recently, there have been people who've gotten strikes and had trouble channels either taken down temporarily. I don't know if any have been taken down permanently, but for doing just things like having a 30-round magazine or having putting on a suppressor and taking it off, you know, falling under modifying a gun. You know, they're mm-hmm. really big on modifying a gun in a video.
And I noticed
what they consider modifying a gun is like putting a sight on it, you know, putting a red dot on it in a video, or putting a suppressor on things that just normal, you know. So I think they backed off of some of that recently. There have been some meetings at high levels about that. And I think they're getting educated at least on some of that. But yeah, it's kind of a difficult terrain to operate in to some extent. You may have encountered some of that yourself.
Yeah.
But you can generally work around it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when I do my videos, I try to think of things that people would want to know or learn. And I get a lot of that from the comments that come in. Guys will ask about certain cartridges or the differences between, or what does a bullet do once you've launched it? Does it really rise or does it immediately start to drop? And that gets us into some pretty interesting stuff. But yeah, as you've noticed. But I've also noticed that really unusual firearms do well. Your biggest was shooting a pumpkin, but I think your second biggest video, if I researched it, and I thought it was the Henry, the original Henry from 1860, the brass framed Henry lever action rifle. That one was real popular. Yeah. To me, it's like, well, why is that popular? No one has that, no functions anymore. Well, I guess they make replicas now, but it's not like a big modern gun that everyone wants to use, and for hunting, it's really not effective. But wow, did you get a bunch of hits on that? So how many did you get on that one?
And that's a bit, I don't know what it is now, but I noticed that it gets comments still, that it's still a fairly popular video. And that's the thing about what we do. So many of our videos are on firearms that are, they're going to be out there forever. And the main thrust of what we do is not, trying to get everything that's new. I'm bad about that. In fact, I go to SHOT Show and I'll make a list of some things. I'll just jot down or take pictures of things. I need to get one of those at some point, and slow about following up on it. And we'll get a firearm about a year later after everybody else has done, you know, made the rounds on it. We don't do the first look thing. We don't want to get involved in that. We're just as likely, like this week, if we're going to do video this week, to do one on a trapdoor Springfield again or something like that, as we are a brand new polymer pistol. We do both is what we do. Mm-hmm. And I just love the fact that people have interest in those old guns, you know.
Yeah.
We'll put up a revolver video and it might get more views than the newest polymer pistol. So
yeah,
there's a lot of interest in firearms and of all kinds. And boy, that just suits me to a T, because that's my interest. I love everything from an old Henry or muzzle loaders. I've got some old Civil War rifles we've done videos with. As much as I enjoy a hunting rifle, I've got a Model 70 made in 1940. And I've got, of course, AR-15s and Glocks and SIGs and FNs. And I enjoy all of them. And I am just so pleased that at least enough viewers like all. And that's another surprise, really. Early on, talked about, you know, I'm not a cop, I'm not a ex-military veteran or anything, so who's going to care what I have to show or say? The same thing. I didn't expect to get views where people be interested in a Model 19 357 Magnum revolver. You know, mm-hmm. that's an old man gun. Nobody's going to be interested in that. But people are really into revolvers and lever guns. It's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that. I don't know if you do any of that at all. You probably don't do much hunting or are involved with those sorts of firearms, even if you like them, I guess, or do you?
I've mostly been focusing on rifles, hunting rifles, but I will get into handguns now and then. And of course I get into the older lever actions because I started off hunting with a Model 94 and I enjoy them. So I'm broadening my horizons a bit, but I, what I found is that people just like to them, it's new. To us, it's the old guns, but to the younger shooters coming on board, they're just as new as the latest model AR that's come out or something. So I think it's worth covering And I've also noticed that if there's something really odd, my most popular video doesn't have a tenth of the hits of your most popular probably, but it is a really unusual gun. I'm just wondering if you've ever stumbled across it. The Hoenig rotary round action. Have you ever seen that?
I've not seen that, no.
You might want to check out my video on that one, because it is a remarkably unusual gun. It has a twisting action. We're going to see if maybe I can get my crew to put up a sample of that. Maybe you could even see it if they can put it up there. See if they, it looks like they're bringing it up now. Just take a look at it.
I might recognize it.
You ever seen anything like this?
Oh, that is neat. No, I've not seen one of those.
Yeah, twists open.
Looks like really high quality, too.
Oh, super high quality. If you're looking at a video right now, you'll see the man who made it. And he just retired maybe 3 years ago. He's in his mid-80s, but he came up with this whole thing on his own. He's just a mechanical genius, and he builds incredibly beautiful firearms. And people just love this video. They like to see that gun open and close. They like to hear the sound of it closing. I've done several spin-off videos from it. Just really an innovative mechanical genius. Yeah, you might want to check that out sometime.
I'll have to look that up. Well, you know, that's the thing. I think people who are into firearms at all, I think we're all fascinated by the machinery of it. You know, just the mechanics and how they work. It's like a lever gun. I see comments on lever gun videos about that sound of that lever gun and that action working. It just gets into your blood, you know?
Yeah.
Sure and is. Of course we diehard shooters can identify with that. Yeah. That's a beautiful rifle.
Now, speaking of unusual rifles and or shotguns, what is the most unusual one that you've come across? Surely you found some really rare ones in your searches for all the things like going back as far as the trapdoor Springfield. What else have you found in the history books?
Well, you know, as much a student of really unusual firearms. There are so many firearms that I like and I find interesting that I've not worked my way through that are, you know, not all that unusual. I'm still learning, you know, I've said this before in videos, I really enjoy Ian McCullough, you know, Ian from Forgotten Weapons, and he does a lot of unusual firearms and features them, does a wonderful job with that. And I'm not that guy. I'm still just fascinated and still learning what an 1842 Harper's Ferry is, you know, that was used in, you know, studying the pre-Civil War era and what those early flintlocks and that kind of thing. In fact, I bought a Harper's Ferry 1842 is one reason I mentioned it about a year ago. And I had never owned a smoothbore percussion revolver or a rifle or smoothbore musket like that before. And have done a couple of videos with it. And I just find that fascinating. I've got some Civil War rifles, you know, 1861, an Enfield. You know, I don't have a Henry. I don't really want a Henry because I want to be able to shoot it. You know? But I've got a reproduction I like. But so, I mean, those are the firearms that when I venture away, when I got out of college, my first interests were primarily the big Smith & Wesson revolvers, you know, 44, 357s. I loved that. And as I ventured out from there, I got into shotguns and mostly shotguns, not rifles, but then other handguns of 1911s and, you know, that sort of thing. And then military firearms like M1 carbines, you know, M1 Garand, those firearms, learning more about those. And then I eventually purchased those and shoot those. And then muzzle loaders. I love the Hawken rifles. And then from there, I got into, muzzle loading shotgun. I got a couple of those now. And mm-hmm. and then the Civil War rifles and things like that, rifle muskets. So my feeble brain just has enough work to do trying to get through the more common, firearms that are a part of our history. And I just got still a ways to go with those. I don't get sidetracked as much. Yeah, or distracted. Well, not distracted. That's not the right word, maybe. But I just don't go down those rabbit holes of those really unusual firearms because there's so many of them. There's so many. You go to a gun show. I went to Tulsa, the Wanamaker show last weekend, and you're like, what in the world is that thing? There's just so many firearms to learn about. And I'm still working on what the heck a 1911 is,
Well,
I'll leave all that other stuff to you.
I think this goes back to your authenticity and your relatability. Most people can't find these rare guns. It's fun to see one and say, wow, I didn't know something like that existed, but you're never going to get your hands on one. Whereas you are dealing with firearms that people can get and use.
Yeah. And I enjoy interesting firearms and historical firearms. We have an opportunity to grab a Johnson, if you're familiar with the Johnson rifle that was actually carried by someone who won the Medal of Honor on Iwo Jima, we may do that. So specific guns that have a lot of history built into it is kind of pretty neat. I'm just a shooter, I enjoy going out with a 1911 and plinking around the place and that kind of thing, more so than unusual guns.
Speaking of plinking around the place, how many rounds do you think you fire in a year?
It's hard to say. I really don't know. You'd almost go through the video. I could probably tally it up looking at videos and then thinking what I shoot outside of video, but I never really thought about it. At one point back 10 or 20 years ago, I think I figured I'd probably fired a million rounds just based on my reloading. And I used to track my primer cases. I'd save them and how many, that's how I knew I fired my Model 29, my first one. 75 or 80,000 rounds through it because I tracked it for a long time and that was the gun I shot the most. But I don't know, I've lost track of all that. And in some ways, the videos, it looks like I shoot more than I probably do because I may go a week and I shoot that much just to, randomly a few shots here and there. But then the next week, we'll do four or five videos. And of course, if you're just looking through the videos, and wow, your machine gun, the next one shooting all these, and especially people who are catching up. They've not seen all the videos, and they're going back and just looking at them randomly. It just looks like, wow, this guy must shoot every day, 10 different firearms. So I think there's a phenomenon there.
Yeah. Well, that's why I asked the question, because it looked like you were putting quite a few rounds downrange.
And as I've said in videos, I really do enjoy going out, putting a revolver on my hip and a pocket, well, not even full of rounds, and just going out and shooting stumps and I've got some targets set out around the place where I don't have to shoot stumps. I can shoot a steel target over there on the hill, even in the woods. I've got some things that aren't seen in videos as much, but I'm just hiking around with my favorite hacking knife, and maybe a revolver or a 1911 or whatever I have. And just taking a shot maybe every now and then if I want to, or I might come back and not having fired a shot. It just depends.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful that you live in a place, and I'm similar, where you can strap on a gun and walk out and enjoy some shooting without worrying about the authorities or the inappropriateness of the activity and et cetera, et cetera. How many places left in this world can a man do that?
Yeah, I know. I don't take it for granted. Civilization is just expanding, exponentially, including where I live to some extent. I'm only about 20-25 minutes out of Nashville, and this whole Middle Tennessee area is just exploded. It's just unbelievable. If you've ever been to Nashville or if you ever get down there very often, but you don't even recognize this area. It's growing so fast. which is great for your real estate value. But I may need to move further into the country before long. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be like Daniel Boone, huh? Keep moving west.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but now you go too far west and you run into the same problem.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
And land is so expensive most places too now.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's our heritage. You know, the United States was made by the Daniel Boone types, you know, progressing westward and pioneering new areas. And having that Second Amendment, I think, is so important to having these freedoms. I don't know how other people feel, but I just can't imagine not having the right to carry a gun out into the woods. I understand if it's private property and I can't access it, et cetera. But if it's public land, a national forest, or my own property or a friend's where I have permission, why can't I go out there with a .22 or a .357 on my hip? And by golly, in this country, we still can, but we're going to have to stay on our toes to keep things rolling, or we're going to potentially lose that.
There's a lot of forces working against it, especially lately. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, where do you see this going, especially Hickok 45? Where do you see your channel going? Are you going to hang in there and keep working on it for a long, long time? Do you have a certain goal or a cutoff point or what?
As long as I enjoy it, I see no reason not to do it. It's kind of the way it started. I was shooting right here on this range. Well, I don't know how many years. I can't do the math that quick, but since 86, you know, so, and we started doing this, videos, I guess, 2007. So I've been shooting right here and on this place for a long time. And then, you know, if for whatever reason we're not doing videos, I'll still be shooting here. So it's just a matter of as long as it's fun and it's, you know, people are willing to watch, you know, people get something out of it. Yeah. Probably keep doing it. I'll keep my health and everything.
Sure. Well, I hope you do. So what do you hope will be the value or the legacy of your channel and what you've been doing now for the last, how long you've been at this, 15 years or so?
Yes, yes. Well, I hope that, I guess when I'm gone, these videos will still be popping up somewhere. I hope we provide some, like what we've been talking about, you know, some demonstrations of using firearms safely, wisely, having fun with them, but being safe and hopefully a good representation of the hobby and the Second Amendment, you know, for as long as YouTube's around or wherever they're posted. We put them on Rumble and also on Gunstreamer too. So, and they, some of them get pirated here and there. So I guess down the road, there'll be somebody. I've been gone for 50 years, just like yourself. Someone will be popping up a Ron Spomer video, you know, or something. Maybe 200 years from now, when if you violate the thought police, if you even think about a .30-06, you know, there'll be somebody looking at one of your videos.
We'll be underground contraband. The people will be arrested for watching us.
That's right.
Historical artifacts. Yes. The two old fuds from the 2000s.
By the way, I thought about you. By the way, before I forget, I thought about you recently. I'm headed to the NRA, and I do my Sunday video a little earlier, and I got to yakking about things like I do in the Sunday videos and shooting, and I don't know if I was missing or, yeah, I was missing. I was shooting over something down in the ravine down there, and I realized I'd need to hold lower. Anyway, I got to talking just randomly off the cuff about how, you know, in case viewers are not aware, when you're shooting downhill or uphill, then your bullet prints higher, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really mean to get into that, but there I go. It's kind of like that, whatever that effect with the earth turn. Oh, no, here I go. Okay, let me kind of try to explain that. Why is it that when you shoot uphill, you know, so I thought of you. Okay, I needed you to step in and explain that, you know. But I mean, things like that, you're just I have watched enough of you and the cartridges, the hunting cartridges, and especially, I mean, you have so much experience with that. It's just incredible, incredible. You've been to Africa, I guess, lots of times, right?
Yeah, oh, I don't know, 16, 17 times, going again later this year. Yeah, that's another place where one likes to exercise his freedom. Yeah, I see it it's quite similar to the Western U.S. back in the pioneer days. You know, they had a real similar thing going on in Africa. People were pioneering back into the so-called wild lands. And of course, they have that hunting tradition and they're maintaining it. And the interesting thing about Africa, of course, is that now the best wildlife populations are all in the hunting districts. You get out of the regulated hunting areas and there's no wildlife because there's no one there to protect it. They don't have a system like ours with game wardens and departments and whatever. So hunting is critically important to the survival of wildlife over there. So it's another good reason to go.
Well, it is here too, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the hunters are who keep it going. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, I just want to wrap this up by thanking you for keeping it going too. I just think you're a wonderful example for anyone, young people, old people, and non-shooters as well as shooters, about why we enjoy our firearms, why we enjoy hunting, shooting, and you're not much of a hunter, but you're a shooter, and that's a whole other aspect of it. And that just, I think, sets an example of why the Second Amendment is important and gives people a great idea of what guns mean to the average American. If you don't mind being called an average American, I'm pretty sure that's what you stand for.
Yeah, I'm probably below average, but average is a jump for me. So.
Well, I sure appreciate your average. I appreciate your average YouTube channel and all your videos, and I would encourage all of our listeners to check you out. I can't imagine if you have over 7 million subscribers already that people don't know who you are, but there's always somebody out there who's needing a revelation.
But probably somebody. But I appreciate what you do, and thanks a lot. And you can go conjugate some verbs this afternoon, maybe.
Yeah, we'll have to get together at a show, and we'll conjugate over a beer or something, and
we'll give a lesson on video about lie and lay or something. How's that?
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Hickok, for joining us. Hey, everybody, you get a chance, just punch in Hickok 45 and get set for a real good time. And you could probably spend the next 2 months watching his videos, and there'd be plenty more to see. Until next time, this is Ron Spomer with Ron Spomer Outdoors Podcast, thanking you for joining us. We will see you next time. In the meantime, hunt honest and shoot straight.